Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Marks and Reese. It is John Marks. It's Ike Reese. And happy Veterans Day to everyone out there. If you served or you are currently serving, if you have a family member that had served, like you, Ike, your pop served, happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. How are you today?
Yes, sir. Happy Veterans Day to everyone out there. And happy Wednesday to everyone out there.
Yes.
Yes. Love that.
A happy Wednesday. I don't think Doug got the memo that it was a Wednesday today. Otherwise, maybe he would answer the questions differently from this morning. All right, so let's get right to it. Jack, so let's play the Favre comments that happened yesterday, and then we're going to play Doug from today. And honestly, like the Favre stuff yesterday, Ike, I think we kind of eye-rolled at Brett Favre being like, oh, they should have kept Nick Foles. Like, really, we're still doing this? The Eagles should have kept Nick Foles thing?
Right.
It was an eye-roll. We talked about it for a couple of minutes. It didn't become a big topic or anything like that. But so here's Brett Favre on First Take yesterday.
I actually thought that they should have kept Nick Foles rather than Carson Wentz, just based off of production and where they got to. You know, they won a Super Bowl with Foles, and that was a little bit surprising. But they're obviously banking on his upside. You know, how many more years do you let it linger before you stick with him or you cut bait? That's a question they only can answer. But I know Doug. Of course, we were together for a long time. He's a very simple coach. He's going to put you in the best possible opportunity to succeed. He's not going to complicate things. So I know it's not Doug. So I'm going to write it off as too many injuries right now. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right, so that was Brett Favre. And really the most impactful thing that he said in the beginning was I would have kept Nick Foles. All right, so Doug asked about it today. Are these in one? Jack, is this one long thing? All right, so here's Doug. So it's one at a time? All right, so he was asked, the first time he's asked, here it is.
Doug, Brett Favre offered the opinion yesterday that you guys should have kept Nick Foles over Carson Wentz, and you know his comments arguably offer, you know, have a little bit more weight since you guys are tight. Just curious what your reaction to his comments are.
I respect Brett's opinion, you know, I mean, yeah, we are friends, but I haven't talked to him, and he's entitled to that, and that's about it.
All right. He's entitled to his opinion. All right. Followed up on it, Jack.
Just to clarify on the Brett Favre business, you said you respect his opinion, but his opinion in this instance was that you should have kept Nick Foles and gotten rid of Carson Wentz. I'm assuming that's not your opinion.
I respect Brett's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and that's fine, you know. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Let's hear number three. Third time he's asked about it.
Doug, before it gets blown out of proportion and everyone runs with Doug didn't support Carson today and he stood by what Brett Favre said, just want to give you a final opportunity to clarify. Those were Brett's thoughts. They weren't your thoughts. When the decision had to be made in the organization, even though personnel decisions like that are usually tough, was it that difficult for you guys? Was anyone beating down the door to do a different thing?
With in regards to Nick?
In terms of keeping Nick over Carson.
No, Carson's our guy. Carson's our draft pick. Carson's the guy that is going to carry us and lead this football team. And listen, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Those aren't my words. Those aren't Howie's words, Jeffrey's words. Those are his words. I mean, I respect that opinion. Whatever he wants to say, that's fine. And we're going to remain friends. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. All I know is that Carson Wentz is our guy. And it's my job to get Carson Wentz to play better, to do better, to help this football team win, as it is to get everybody else to play better. And so, again, I respect his opinion and his words. Those aren't mine. Please don't put words in my mouth or we're going to have a problem. And Carson's our guy. Bottom line. End of story.
Yeah, and Rob Motti asked that last question. I don't know why he had to try to answer the question for Doug. Doug was given two separate occasions to where he could have very easily said that that's Brett Favre's opinion. That is not my opinion. That is Brett Favre's opinion. I do not agree with that opinion. Or just, that's Brett Favre's opinion. I'm not getting into this. Carson Wentz is our quarterback. Nick Foles has been gone for a couple of years. Carson Wentz is our quarterback. Period. End of discussion. Very easy. He didn't do that. And I'm trying to figure out why. I'm trying to figure out why. A layup answer. And he couldn't even do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. It seems like a fairly easy way to just pour water on what Brett Favre was saying. And I guess what the question was asking for, like, right? Like, sometimes you get asked these questions, and I'm just trying to put myself in Doug's shoes. I don't know if Doug was aware of Brett Favre's comments, or if he wasn't, but he hears that question, and I don't know if he feels that he needs to go into a defense of Carson Wentz and I guess restating that Carson Wentz is their guy versus he knows how close he is with Brett Favre. Those are Brett Favre's comments. Okay, Brett Favre has the right to have his opinion. Okay, whatever. Like, I don't know. It, like I said, for us, it seems fairly easy to just pour water on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. So, I mean, I don't know. I think when he fully understood the question and what answer people were looking for, he clearly stated it then.
Mm. Can I hear the second one again? Let's hear Les Bowen's follow-up to Tim McManus's original question where, I mean, this is where, like, just listening to it live, it's like, all right, now he's, you know, they're following up, so he's going to say the right thing now. Here it right. is.
Just to clarify on the Brett Favre business, you said you respect his opinion, but his opinion in this instance was that you should have kept Nick Foles and gotten rid of Carson Wentz. I'm assuming that's not your opinion.
I respect Brett's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and that's fine, you know, and I'll leave it at that.
No! The answer's no!
Yeah, I agree. That would have been my answer.
So, I mean, now I don't know if he's not hearing him or he just doesn't want to answer the question or really, like, he feels a certain way about Carson Wentz. I'm just gonna say this because obviously we're reading into it based on his first two answers before Rob Motti came in and saved the day by more or less telling him what he should say. Mm-hmm. Is there a Doug and Carson thing going on here? Like, is there a Doug and Carson thing going on here? Because here's what I've been feeling all year. Here's what I've been feeling all year: that this coach and quarterback don't have good chemistry. They don't have good chemistry. A head coach and quarterback relationship is so important in the NFL. Look at any of the good teams. Look at any of the good quarterbacks. Look at the one great quarterback that didn't have a good relationship with his head coach. Aaron Rodgers, that guy's out of here, right? Like, or Mike McCarthy's out of here because clearly they didn't have a good relationship, right? Like, I don't know how this is going to work when Doug can't answer a basic question. A basic question. Brett Favre said that he would have kept Nick Foles. Doug, would you have kept Nick Foles? Do you agree with Brett Favre? And he can't even say no. He can't even say no. So, I mean, as far as doubts about this working with Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson, this year has been a total disaster. And this is what it's about. This is a basic function of being a head coach in the NFL, a basic function. That's an easy question. I don't know if he wasn't prepared for it. I don't know if they didn't prepare for that question before. I don't even know if they – I mean, we didn't even think it was a big deal. The whole thing, because it's easy. It's an easy answer. He couldn't even do it. He couldn't even do it. Like, I just got to say, like I'm having real doubts about this working between Doug and Carson, and everybody's talking about getting back to 2017 form. How are we getting back to 2017 form? They can barely walk. They're crawling. They can't even walk together.
Who can't walk together?
These two.
Carson and Doug?
Yes.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that. I think they're in a rough patch right now, and winning games cures everything. And, you know, Doug and Carson need to have a better second half of the season. Doug's going to need to put Carson in a position to be successful, and Carson, when those opportunities present itself, needs to execute. Like that's what needs to change. And when that changes, everything else changes. Everything else changes. The narrative around the team, the narrative around the quarterback and the coach, all that stuff changes. All that stuff changes. You know, Tom Coughlin was banned for everybody. Everybody hated Tom Coughlin. Time to fire him. Never going to work. They found a way to go win the Super Bowl, and he's there for how many more years after that? Long enough to win another Super Bowl. Long enough to win another one. That's what winning does. That's what winning does. And I know I got a Super Bowl winning head coach here, and I got a quarterback who I believe has the ability to win a Super Bowl if you put that type of talent around him. And that's what it's going to boil down to. Now, listen, if you keep losing games and quarterback isn't playing well and coach is going for it on fourth down or two-point conversions and it's not working and you don't have answers for it after games, then eventually, yeah, the owner is going to have to make a decision to move on from either one of you or both of you. That's what's going to happen when you don't win. But when you win, I know winning cures all.
That's for sure.
That's what I know. And right now, this is just another extension of pick a side and defend that side. That's all this is right now with this team. Either you're a Carson guy or you're not, or you're a Doug guy or not. And that's what Brett Favre did, in my opinion.
Brett
Favre did, in my opinion, unsolicited, looking for attention on national TV, smart enough to know he says something like that, the media, especially mainstream media, is going to run with it. It's going to run with it. Because he's Brett Favre. Because he's Brett Favre. Right? And that's the way I look at it. That's the way I look at it. I don't look at it like Wentz hates Doug, Doug hates Wentz, they can't work together. I look at it like both of these guys have the ability to win at the highest level, and they are in a rut. And part of it is due to circumstances for both of them. Doug has to come up with game plans to fit around guys like Boston Scott and Richard Rodgers and Travis Fulgham and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and John Hightower and Sue Opetta and Nate Herbig and Jake Driscoll, like all these guys that he has to try to put together a game plan and go try to win football games with. And Carson the same way, having to execute. Now, it doesn't explain why everything is the way that it is. Some of it is just due to poor decision-making from Carson Wentz and at times from Doug. They get those things fixed, corrected, and they start winning football games in the second half, and all this talk will go away. It will go away of picking sides. The Nick Foles nonsense is such an old, lazy narrative that I don't even like giving it credence anymore. I really don't. Because it causes you to bash Nick, causes you not to truly appreciate what he did while he was here. And also, it doesn't allow us to move on. Nick ain't coming back here. So talking about him isn't going to do anything. But yet we do it. And until they give us a reason to stop talking about him, I guess it's going to be here.
Yep.
Because Brett Favre invoked Nick Foles' name there, and nobody even asked him about
nowhere.
Yeah, nobody asked him about Nick Foles.
Out of nowhere. 215-592-9494.
Mr. Wranglers.
We open up the phone lines.
Tired of him.
215-592-9494.
By the way, real quick.
Yeah.
I got to hit him for one more minute. I mean, seriously, Brett Favre, if someone was ready to bench you after all the dumb stuff you did throughout your career, including poor decision-making on the field, you lived off those MVPs in the 90s for a damn decade. That afforded you to make poor decisions for over a decade after you won those MVPs. In the 90s, by the way. You look nothing like an MVP until your last year in Minnesota, which you cost them the NFC Championship game. Since you want to cause dissent here on my team, I have to cut you in half real quick. You and your all-time leading interceptions. And John Ritchie said this on the show earlier today, and I completely agree with him, because as a defensive player going up against Green Bay, yeah, in our meeting rooms, yeah, hang around. He's going to throw you one or two. Just be ready to catch it when he throws it to you. He's the all-time leading intercepting quarterback. That was the game plan going in defending Green Bay's offense. He's going to make some throws, but he's also going to make some dumb decisions. That sounds like our quarterback right now. And Brett Favre, with your hating self, you ought to be able to recognize that he's going through what you went through your entire career, Mr. Interception. Don't mess with the Bronco on Wednesday.
Ooh,
some
boy.
Mr. Wranglers.
That was beautiful.
I ain't even get into all your other stuff you got, you did. I ain't going to even go down that road.
Well, that's what I was hoping we'd
do. Nah, I just keep it on the field. I just keep it on the field because for every good play he made an equally bad play.
215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. 215-592-9494. Doug Peterson today just
retired five times, whining. Daughter want me to come back and play.
Were you an anti-Favre guy when all that was going on?
I hated Favre.
Yeah, I did too. I every year it was the same thing. Soap opera. Is he
staying?
Is he retiring?
The biggest attention you know what out there.
Oh, I couldn't stand him. I rooted against him all the time.
And that's what this was.
I didn't like it. Yeah. No, and he ends up putting his buddy in a bad spot because Doug handles it incorrectly, and now we're talking about it. Now we're reading into it. Now we're wondering.
Please don't put words in my mouth, or we're going to have a problem.
Now we got
this
that.
This thing is growing, John.
It's never good when your coach and owner have a soundboard. Never good. It's good for us. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. I'm going to say this. There's no way they're getting back to 2017 for him. There's no way. This is the beginning of the end. This is the beginning of the end with these two. Seriously? Like, they're never getting back to that. They don't have the chemistry. It's pretty clear what's going on here to me. It's pretty clear. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. Agree or disagree? Where are you at? We open the phone lines coming up next.
Just to clarify on the Brett Favre business. You said you respect his opinion, but his opinion in this instance was that you should have kept Nick Foles and gotten rid of Carson Wentz. I'm assuming that's not your opinion.
I respect Brett's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and that's fine, you know, and I'll leave it at that.
Oh, Doug, we're back. Marks and Reese, that's just a couple hours ago here. Where, I mean, we knew, I knew there would be a question about it, Ike. I didn't think that it would be that much of a problem with the answer. I don't know if he wasn't prepared. I don't know if they went over with him down there. I don't know if they did and he just went off script. I can't imagine that's the way they wanted that to go before the third answer, the third question where he's given the answer and he takes it. I just don't know. It is, you know, I think that, you know, I like Doug, I do, but there's been too many times now where he's gotten himself into trouble, trying to be too truthful. I don't know if that was the case where he did he not want to lie? Did he talk to Brett and now he's worried about the questions? I mean, he seemed more interested in protecting Brett Favre than his own quarterback.
So that leads you to believe what?
Or
think what? Like, what has you – like, it didn't rile me up, but it seems to have riled you up and others. I'm just wondering what riled you up about the answer.
I have real concerns about the relationship and the chemistry between the head coach and the quarterback. And it just seems as we even go deeper into the season, like with this right here. With this right here, I mean, that should be an easy slam dunk layup answer. And it took him three tries to say what was very easy, even if you don't believe it, even if it's not true, even if you wanted Nick Foles and you wanted to keep him, you know what the answer has to be. So I just, like, I don't understand it. I don't understand the thinking. I don't understand the mindset. I don't ever see Doug talking to Carson Wentz on the field, right? Like, all these things, now we're reading into it even more because things keep happening,
mm-hmm.
right?
But you do know it's not Doug's decision as to whether or not Carson is going to be here.
Yeah. Sure. Yes, of course.
Okay.
No, I mean, and it's not about, it's like, to me, when I say, is this going to get back to 2017 level where they were? It's not going to be with Doug here. That's for sure. Like, if one of them's going, it's going to be him first.
Well, I mean, I would agree with that. I mean, a player always sticks around. You're not going to get rid of the quarterback and keep a coach here.
No, it's not often that happens.
Yeah.
Or if really ever.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
And that's our Twitter question brought to you by Mark Stuhlers. Mark Stuhlers has over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google. Find out why in person or at marks-jewelers.com. Do you believe the combination of Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz will get back to 2017 form? Yes or no? Jack Fritz, it's a 50-50 split. You got your coin flip. Yes or no?
Happy.
It makes him happy.
Yeah, it means it's a great day. It's a good Wednesday. On 11-11, no less.
So, Jack, what was your reaction? We were texting while the press conference was going on.
We were saying some things that can't go over the air.
Yes, we were. Well, like, I just, like.
Well, I was not a part of that text between you two.
You were not. You were not. Like, are we reading too much into it? And I don't think we are. I really don't think that we are, right?
Well, I do.
Really?
Yes.
Here's the thing.
It depends on what you're reading into it. Let me just put it that way.
So I'm more on John's side, right? Like, it feels like this is not the beginning of the end. I think that's already started. I think this is more signs of this coming to an end.
Yes.
And it's not about his answer. It's about that his first reaction was not to defend his quarterback.
Right.
And that's what irks me. His first reaction should have been, that's crazy. Carson's our guy. Brett's my friend, but I'm not going to let him determine what we do here. And his first reaction was, I'm not going to comment.
Defend Favre and not defend his quarterback.
That's what has me a concern. That's where I see a divide. That's where I personally see a divide in what Doug said today. And it feels like the end is coming here at these two.
Even if he answered the question like that wasn't his intent, still, you can tell his feelings. He doesn't have warm feelings for him. So that's just my opinion. I don't know this for a fact, but just reading into the situation and seeing what I'm seeing, guys that used to have dinner on or pizza on Thursday night to get ready for the game on Sunday, doesn't seem like there's a lot of
– Yeah, see –
there's a lot there now.
I think that's unfair to Doug to say that based off today's press conference, when there's been plenty of times where Doug has shown confidence in Wentz and talked about Wentz's toughness and getting him fixed, and he's the quarterback and he's not benching him and he never thought about benching him. Like, there's been plenty of times this year where Doug has shown faith in Carson Wentz. Now, we kill Doug if he protects Wentz, right? If he says something that where he's being critical of him for throwing an interception or what have you, then we read into that. Like, what do we want him to do? Do we want him to protect him from everybody, or do we want him to give an honest assessment of him?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we want to use yesterday and Brett Favre taking a moment to really inject himself into the spotlight, which is all he really did, and take that as a moment to bash Doug, or I don't know, validate some fears that some people may have out there about these two not being able to work together. See, I just look at it as, yeah, if things continue the way that they are for an extended period of time, meaning after the 2021 season, then I can see this conversation happening. I don't believe either is going anywhere, regardless how the end of this season ends up. I mean, you would have to go 0-8 the rest of the way for something drastic to happen. They're going to both be back next year, and next year is an entirely new year, which we don't know what the hell the team is going to look like or do next year. I mean, if they wind up winning the division again next year and going to the playoffs for 5 straight years, who's leaving? Who's leaving?
I mean, yeah, if they make the playoffs next year with a good record.
I don't care if it's a good record or not. If they make the playoffs for 5 straight years, who are you getting rid of?
Well, I mean, if you win 6 games this year and make the playoffs, that's not really that's another playoff year. If the quarterback continues to regress and is playing poorly, I mean, something's got to give, doesn't it? Let's get to the phones. Let's go to Amir in Germantown. Amir, how are you?
What's up, GOATs?
What's up, Amir?
What's up, Amir?
Pike, I'm on your side, and I swear we can't have nothing nice in Philadelphia, man. I swear, it's like we always got to ship all of our GOATs out. And it's like, it's obvious that everybody has an agenda against Carson. This is the only quarterback who's just being killed like he doesn't have
including his coach. Amir, are you talking about the way Doug's acting too?
No, wait, all right. Let me adjust that Doug thing.
Yeah.
I think we are reading a little bit too much into it with what he said earlier. I just think he was playing both sides. He didn't want to, like, because Brett is his friend and he loves Carson. I don't think he wanted to, like, make it seem like anybody. Like, he didn't want to come at anybody.
Right.
But to sit here and say that they can't get along and they can't be successful. Why? Because they're losing with a bunch of injury-prone, old, like, come on, look at the spot. Like, can we get these guys some real
Because the offense, like, this just isn't strictly limited to to Doug and Carson and their relationship and if there's a problem there and why didn't Doug answer the question the way he should answer the question. It's also about what the offense looks like, right? It's also about the decision-making of the head coach, Amir, right? Like, this plays into 12 wins. You want to turn it into everybody hates Carson Wentz. This has nothing. This has little to do with Carson Wentz. This has more to do with Doug than Carson Wentz. Right, like, I point my finger this year as much as Doug is to Carson Wentz. Doug's been terrible this year.
But look what Doug's working with, and look what Carson's working with. Can we wait? Why do we got to kick these guys out of town? They're proven. These guys are proven. And just like what Ike said, if they make the playoffs next year, I don't want to hear anything. They better have mulligan after mulligan years. If they make the playoffs next year, then no. Doug needs an extension, and we need to back off and let them do what they need to do. Stop trying to run these guys out of town. We do this all the time.
Are they doing that this year? Amir, are they doing that this year?
Yeah, under the circumstances, yes. I'm happy with what we're doing. After seeing all of these injuries and stuff, yes, I'm happy that we're in first place because I believe that even if Dak didn't get hurt, we would still be in first place.
All right. Thank you, Amir. I mean, I'm happy that they're in first place, too. I want to see them make the playoffs. I'm not advocating for tanking or anything like that. But, I mean, let's fairly look at this year. I'm not happy. I'm not happy with Doug. I'm not happy with where Carson is right now. You know, I probably actually have a sharper tongue towards Doug than Carson with everything.
Through eight games.
Yeah, through eight games. You're right. You're right, Ike. You said it yesterday. You said it again today. If they go 6-2 in the final eight games, no one's talking about any of this stuff. We're not talking about Carson. We're not talking about Doug. Or at least most people aren't.
Well, I mean, the explanation would be they are healthy again. They have their players back. This is what the team was supposed to look like at the beginning of the season. Like, you can't ignore that. You can't ignore that guys have been injured, that you were relying on. Like, as much as we may want these young guys to be this and that and the other, they haven't been. They're young guys. They're young players. Does that mean that this team shouldn't have beaten Washington? Sure. Does that mean the team shouldn't have beaten Cincinnati? Sure. I can't think of any other games they should have won that they didn't win.
No, probably those two.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pull up their results right now.
It's only been eight games. They lost to Baltimore. They lost to Pittsburgh. They lost to the Rams. And they lost to Washington.
But being underdogs in games is one thing. Having a chance to win a game, like the 2-point conversion against the Ravens. Like,
yeah.
Like what?
Yeah. They should be commended for that. You guys choose to rip them for that.
No, Carson should be commended
for
that. No,
the whole team.
No, the head coach shouldn't be.
Huh? I'm just talking about the team. I'm just talking about the team. Should be. That Baltimore team was light years better than that Eagles team. That Eagles team had no business even being in that game.
Yeah, and then the game started, and they were asleep during the game. And
well, Hightower dropped the ball, third play of the game.
And the Ravens had like 100-some-odd yards in penalties. I mean, constantly shooting themselves in the foot.
Sure.
Like, that's a game that you got to win that game. That's a game where they let you
win
the game.
How you win that game with the people they have out there going up against the number one defense in the league?
They were a 2-point conversion away from tying
the game. Thanks to the quarterback's heroics.
Right, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And if they call a different play, who knows what happens? Yes, I'm complaining about Doug Peterson, the head coach. Yes, that's what I'm doing.
Okay,
yes, I give it to Carson Wentz. Like, Carson Wentz was unbelievable. That's the only reason they were in that game. Same with the Steelers.
Well, I mean, I don't hear that enough. I just hear how terrible he's been all year long. And I'm just saying he and the head coach are extensions of each other. Now, they don't both make the same mistakes. They both don't execute at the same time. Sometimes Doug calls the right play. Carson doesn't execute. Sometimes Carson goes off schedule and makes a play, like at the end of the Baltimore game, that has very little to do with Doug, has more to do with Carson. I'm saying there's been enough of that on both sides. That's all I'm saying. And I'm saying that once you get – your players back that you expect to have, and you have guys like Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz and Lane Johnson and the offensive lineman, and you throw in an Alshon and those type of guys, that's going to make it easier to execute these plays. That's going to make it easier for Doug to call plays. And you're going to be in these games. You're going to have a chance to win these games. And if you finish the season on a high note and you go in and you win a playoff game, everybody's feeling different. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I can actually get past these first eight games without feeling all bitter and upset and disappointed and throwing the towel in on the season. I'm happy that there is a season still to be played. And as I look at our division, we are currently the best team in the division. And while people are falling down all around us, like it was for us in the first 8 weeks of the season, we are starting to get guys back. We're starting to get guys back. So I expect things to be different.
Hope you're right.
Between these two, and Brett Favre, shut the hell up. Keep your comments. By the way, I don't know where Brett Favre got his opinion from. It may have arrived on his own or whatever. But, dude, like, you're not really thinking about your friend when you make those comments.
Mm.
You talk about how close you and Doug are. Well, you weren't thinking about Doug when you made those comments.
Put him in a bad spot.
You damn right you put him in a bad
no
spot.
No doubt about that. No doubt about it.
Because Brett Favre is selfish. Because all he cared about was, I'm going to be in the headlines.
Probably. 215-592-9494. Mark's and Reese. Doug also updated the injuries today.
Yeah, I can't believe we compared our quarterback to him. Come on, dude. You done violated so many codes here. I don't even know what to say. Codes. I mean, hero worshiping code. The man said you're his idol.
Yeah, that's
rooted for
just,
you.
I don't. I just from.
What
the
hell is wrong with him?
I don't get it unless
he spoke to the freaking team before the Super Bowl.
Right. Unless he's being told stuff that makes him not like Carson Wentz.
Well, even if he was. I mean, my goodness.
215-592-9494. Let's read into it a little bit, everybody. Mark Reese. Doug also updated the injuries today. What did he say about some key contributors coming back? That's coming up next. Mark Reese.
Hey, add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino this football season. Now, there's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Their app is simple to use. They got great odds on all different betting markets, unique, fun bet types like same game parlay, and exclusive always on promotions to let you get more action out of every game day. And if you win, they'll get you your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place a bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back if you don't win your first bet week 10 tomorrow night. Oh, I love divisional matchups. I got Indianapolis headed to Tennessee. Oh, Indianapolis coming off a tough loss at home last week. And Tennessee, looks like they're starting to roll. Tennessee giving up 1.5 points in this game. A little bit tight for a point spread for me. I like Indy plus the 1.5, but I really like the over-under in this game. You know what? I was thinking under. Short week, it's maybe an over. Maybe Indy is set to explode. Plus, I have the Tennessee quarterback, one of my fantasy teams. Seriously, there's no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you don't win, you get to keep the cash. If you lose, you get the entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. Now, if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code Ike so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Ike.